couldn't confirm the invite.
We'll give them a minute and see if they.
That's what I understand.
Hey, you know, I'm glad it's out.
I wasn't copied, so.
Want me to do the roll call with everybody announcing?
Mason texted me yesterday.
Normal, yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
Pledge allegiance.
This is my first meeting sitting.
Hi, how are you?
Julie Taylor.
It's Brian.
Is it?
Sorry about my name.
Should be, let's see.
Good morning.
Doing great.
Good to see you.
It's been a little while. How has life been? Good?
Busy. How about you?
Yeah, it's very busy.
I mean, I haven't seen you forever, but it's been so exciting to see everything.
So. You'll be back when? Who knows?
Just a court of cases.
You'll be back when?
Yeah.
It's just a
public defense,
right?
PD, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
We
come along now. I think there are members that keep trying to do that, and it's kind of fluctuating.
Well, you know, I think.
Good morning.
Morning, Mr.
How are you?
Election year. It's rail and raise money. Versus political consultants. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you? There's another one over there as well.
Good morning.
Oh, Lordy.
Yes, sir.
Hello, how are you? Good to see you.
Well, it's a call to order. But I wouldn't worry about it at this point.
Yeah.
Anita.
Okay, good morning, everyone. We will call this meeting to order. This is the Inspector General Selection and Retention Committee. Today is January 22nd, 2020. It's about 10:02 a.m., and we will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
So then we will start with a roll call. We'll start with you, Ms. Green.
Lisa Green, Inspector General, Office of Inspector General.
Emily Edge, Finance and Intake Unit Manager.
Mr. Henry.
Daniel Henry, True Commission.
Lee Hutton with the State Attorney's Office.
Julie Taylor, Court Counsel with the Fourth Judicial Circuit.
Scott Wilson, City Council.
Brian Hughes, Chief Administrative Officer for the Administration.
Charlie Cofer, Public Defender.
Joseph Rogan, Ethics Commission.
Very good. We have a fairly short agenda, so we will begin with old business, and our first action item is approval of the minutes. I believe those minutes have been previously sent out, so I entertain a motion. A motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Anyone wish to discuss the minutes? Seeing no one raise their hands, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Minutes carry. Is there any other old business that anybody would like to bring up at this time? And no one raised their hand, we will move to new business, and I'll turn it over to Inspector General Green.
Thank you. Good morning. I appreciate all of your time this morning. Just for housekeeping, we've provided you a copy, a hard copy of the annual report, and there's also going to be a copy of the annual report retained in the binders. It might be easier to reference the one that's free from the notebook today. So the purpose of the meeting today is basically to give you a brief highlight of the last 6 months, which really is the end of the fiscal year 19, which is the summary of the actual annual report. I'm not going to go into great depth. It was emailed and issued on December 20th, but I'll highlight some of the concepts out of that, and then I'll open up for any questions you might have. Basically, I'll start off with the executive summary and a few things I want to say. But before I do, I really want to publicly thank Emily Edge, our finance and intake manager, because she is the designer, and she really does a beautiful job every year, and I can't do it without you, so seriously, sorry about that, but that's the way it is, so anyway. All right, so basically on pages 1 and 2 is the executive summary. I think what I just want to highlight there is that we issued 7 investigative reports and also management inquiries. four management inquiries last year. That's in addition to everything else that we are doing. Oftentimes, the material doesn't rise to have a published report. But what I want to point out is in those materials, we offered 41 recommendations to strengthen policy and internal controls to both city and independent authority management. And all of those recommendations have been accepted. Some have been completed, and some remain in progress. And then down in the lower section in the dollars, I wanted to point out that in the identified costs and recoverable dollars, $75,000, and the question costs, most of that in the identified, all but $5,000 came from one investigation involving a contract investigation and employee oversight. And what we found in that particular investigation was that there was not due diligence in the review of the invoicing, so there were overpayments, and that was in part. So the dollars that those dollars are attributable to that investigation. At Appendix 4 in the back on page 32, you'll see that just similar to last year, we list all of the recommendations. So I think it's important for city leaders and people to see the kinds of recommendations we're making. So we will always be incorporating that in the annual report so you can see the policy recommendation, training concepts, things like that that we're asking based on the findings. It's important to note, too, on page 2, in the very section in the middle bar, 85% of the closed complaints remained at the end of fiscal year. So we have had, since inception, over 500 complaints. We've closed over 450 complaints. And we had 81 ongoing complaints at the end of fiscal year 19, of course, now we're several months into the new fiscal year. I'm going to go through just a couple of the highlight of some of the recommendations in regards to the right-of-way stormwater case I spoke of with the overpayments. Those recommendations are on page 32. But what we found in there, that there was a need for training in the areas of procurement and also ethics. And so I know that ethics has trained some of the public works folks, but that was one of the things that we did as a result of the investigation, find that it was important for them to be refreshed on, especially in the areas of ethics relating to their relationships with the vendors. In that one instance, the program manager, who had been with the city a number of years, he ended up retiring as a result of the investigation. But we found that he had a long-term relationship on and off with one of the vendors. And so whether real or perceived, it does cause for concern when you're doing hunting trips with an ongoing vendor that's doing contracting and fishing trips. So the training was related to ethics and the best way to work with vendors moving forward. We had if you have not been aware, the JEA employee-owned gyms was a big highlight last year. After two investigations came forward and we saw that membership dues had been embezzled by employees, I decided we would do a management review. Again, the management review is a review of process. So we looked at all of the gyms. There were 9 locations, and we found that over the course of about 20 years or so, they had employee-owned gyms. They were not monitored by JEA, but JEA was helping with the recovery of the membership dues. Several of the employees, two additional employees were identified as having embezzled, and we did work with the state's attorney's office on that. Thank you for that. And 3 of the employees ended up being arrested and working through that system for embezzlement. I think the best thing that came out of that was not necessarily the misfortune to the employees, but rather that JEA has an actual wellness program and has actually embraced the gyms, and it's working through a process that has oversight and accountability. In the last 3 years alone in the gyms, there was over $200,000 of membership dues that were collected. So the restitution money on page 1 is relating to those JEA gyms. I'm going to walk through the book. And so on page 7 and 8, we highlight a few of the outreach. I know the outreach continues to remain as an important focus. We have continually going to the new employee orientations, but I'm also going out to the CPACs and meeting with them so that folks out in that community can know where to get a hold of us in the event that they are having problems with fraud, waste, and abuse relating to either vendors or employees. We have completely trained the City Council, and I thank the committee chair for that, for allowing us to train the ECAs. Recently, I've done all of the property appraiser's office, and what's significant about that is the state statute has changed, and the property appraiser and has and some of the others that collect money are required to demonstrate an effort to address fraud, waste, and abuse, and one of those we thought was to address training on what fraud, waste, and abuse is and when they should contact our office. And then on page 13 and 14, this is where we get into the meat of the complaints as far as just graphically. We closed 115 complaints, so everything rolls over, so we continue to keep track of that. This on page 13, those are the manners in which we close. You can see that about 34% of those were reviewed by the investigations unit. So whether they rose to an investigation or whether they went a different method, but they were reviewed. And then allegations by type, we found that 50%, almost 50%, were related to, the complaints were related to a violation of rule, law, or policy. And nearly 50% last year involved the city departments. And the other largest number there is the independent authorities. The 20% of the complaints involved the independent authorities. And moving in, that's basically all I was going to touch on the annual report as far as in the details. If you have any questions about any of the investigations or anything, feel free to bring it up now or at any time. Regarding what has happened since this fiscal year started, I want to thank the mayor's office and especially Mr. Hughes. We have collaborated, and I did express a need for new staff. I needed a little more additional help, given the matter of hot topics and priorities that we have to shift every time something large comes along. Jacksonville Housing Authority, we all know, took about 10 months, and I actually worked on almost every interview, so we needed new staffing, and we've been through the mayor's office. We were approved for three new positions, one auditor, one investigator, and we're newly developing an investigative support analyst that should shift some of the routine matters as far as the researching and the developing of charts and reviewing data from the investigators over to that individual so the investigators can continue to do the meat of the investigation, and hopefully that will help with workload shifting priorities and also time sensitivities to help things move a little bit faster. That'll bring our FTEs up to 12. In your book under tab 5, I do have an updated org chart. So you'll see there's two sections. One is budget and the other is staffing. And you'll see behind one of the drawings there that there is the revised org chart. So you'll see the auditors are now at two positions and the investigation unit, including the investigator, has gone to 5 total.
If I could.
Yes, sir.
It's mostly for the council president, but since we're here in the meeting, we ended up doing reprogramming vacancies in an apartment.
Okay.
And there's budget transfers that we can do to support it. That can begin immediately. But in the budget, we probably will realign some FTEs, add there, and replace vacancies.
Okay.
In apartments. I took the opportunity to. Council President, and well, it'll be in the budget. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Look forward to it. So when do you think that that legislation will be approved and you'll be able to hire these?
There's no legislation. That's what I'm saying. We have the capacity to do it.
I got you.
Just transfers.
I got
so
you.
So right now the FTEs are there for her to solicit.
Gotcha.
And find.
NBRC
and
can make that decision.
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah, we handle it.
Yes, and through the chair, we did. I already put the announcements out last week, and we're already getting responses received. So I'm anticipating the announcements are going to close on the 29th, and I'm going to do everything I can to do a thorough job and hire the best candidates and get them on board, hopefully by mid-February.
Right.
Mid to the end of February.
That's good.
That's my goal. Yeah, it is. I do appreciate it. And I know, Council President, as well, I know that you were supportive of the expansion as well. Since October 1st, I just want to let you know that we have issued two reports. One you know is the Jacksonville Housing Authority, which resulted in a really close analysis and updating of their policies and also a change in leadership. And then we've also issued the management review relating to the City Council and our suggestion that they come up with policies for preservation of public records related to personal cell phones, so like their texts on their personal, when they're doing business with their personal. So, and I am going to ask to continue pursuing that. I look forward to some policies on that. You all know that we've been immersed in the JEA contract oversight, and we are supporting other various ongoing matters relating to JEA. And then we, in addition to all of this, we've updated every one of our internal policies as it relates to moving forward for accreditation because they had a change in standards and we had to update everything. And so we are continuing to pursue the accreditation piece. We should have a mock assessment coming up in March, which will be publicized. And then our final one should be world time frame with I'm going to be confident that between Emily and the rest of the staff that we're going to be successful and that we're going to get our accreditation in June of 2020. That's our goal, at least, for sure. And then we're going to continue our conducting outreach and training, and I would just ask if there's any opportunities for that anywhere, whether it's public session or clerk of courts, anywhere. I'd love to get our office out there and have that dialogue. That is what I have to say about as brief as I can, but hopefully, you know, got some nuggets for you. I'm going to be presenting the same material to the City Council, so if you have any comments or suggestions for next week on Tuesday during the agenda meeting. And then the next meeting will be April in that time frame, and that will be a review. It will be in my annual performance evaluation. It will be the second one that we've conducted. Some of you have been on the first one. And then we will also give a review of the budget, look for the feedback, and I'll explain what my proposed budget will be, so it'll be a good snapshot for that. And then finally, also a six-month review, which we'll go over from October 1st to the end of March to help you understand what's been happening up through the first 6 months. And I'll turn it back to the chair.
Anybody have anything?
I have one quick question.
Yes.
So on the Housing Authority, it's process, and obviously don't say what you mean. Report's essentially done. The FHA board is working for JHA. Are you continuing to be plugged in with the board and the leadership as they move through? Is your work done? Or because I know that there are board members reaching out that are appointees talking about the things that they might bring forward to help fix the problems there. Can they talk to you or your staff as and if you guys think that what they would do problems, does that make sense?
Yes. Once the investigation report is issued, this is for everyone. Yes, there can be a dialogue, and our work does not stop until I get satisfaction that they have actually addressed or declined the recommendations. We're going to continue. I just sent an email saying, where are you on this? I'll welcome any dialogue if they want to sit down because, on paper, it's a very factual side of things, and I mean, I think there's also some other insight that came through it just through the conversations with the employees that we can share. So yes, we're happy to have that dialogue, and if they needed to review anything, they're welcome to do that as well.
I think they're doing
Well, and I think it's a good time to have a dialogue, especially when it's that substantial after things are issued. That's when we can have that dialogue. And we don't want us to be just, okay, here you go, wash our hands. I really want to take a role because I feel like we had the insight for 10 months, very detailed, very deep, and can help support or say, maybe this is the area that could be more useful based on what we know. I'm happy to have that information.
Thank you. Anyone else?
No, I'll see to you. Go ahead.
Judge.
I'm very happy to see you. Backlog occurred because of.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Henry and then Mr. Rogan.
So I think the one case that really got a lot of my attention the report goes in great detail as to some of the policies that were lacking with the authority. But I'm curious, since they're now going through a search of a new potential CEO, I noticed that the past one didn't have a contract, and I thought that was a little odd for a head of an agency, and I didn't know whether or not that you had any opinions as to that was a good practice moving forward.
Through the chair, without reviewing the ordinance and seeing specifically what it requires, I think that that is something that the board should be maybe considering if they want to consider and figure out if that's a best practice moving forward.
Rogan?
Chair, I want to thank you for your work on this year. It's been time to hopefully constructive criticisms in your review. I thought your office was understaffed, and I thought there was too much of a backlog. So I echo the judge's comments that you've made huge progress in local business. Also, thank the administration. The administration's support of your office. And that requires you and the administration working together with the council to get that done. So I just want to say I really appreciate the work of those who have been primary concerns.
Chair, thank you, and I would attribute that to the excellence of the staff and the dedication of my staff as well. Thank you.
So I realize it's still ongoing, but is there anything you're able to provide to us as far as a time frame on the Kids Hope Alliance? I continue to receive concerns about the amount of time that the administrator over there is on administrative leave. So anything you could share publicly, that'd be great.
Through the chair, I'm not able to discuss anything due to public records. This is part of my push for expansion. I recognize how important it is. We did have, I'm going to be honest, we had to deviate a little bit due to some recent events. Sure. However, I've recommitted to that, and so we should be trying to wrap that up within a reasonable amount of time. And I recognize it's not lost on any of us, the fact that an individual is sitting on administrative leave, and we are doing everything we can to get it done expeditiously as possible.
Thank you. That's a great help. I appreciate you sharing that. Okay. Anything else under new business? I think we have one public comment card. Is that right, Mr. Nooney? Come on down. Wherever. I know him. I know who he is. We see him quite a bit. He's also a neighbor of mine, so.
Hello. Where would you like me up?
That's
here?
Right there, sign, yes.
Hello, my name is John Nooney, 8356 Bascom Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32216, City Council District 4, School Board District 3, House District 12, Senate District 4, Congressional District 4, and the 4th Judicial Circuit, Soil and Water Conservation District Group 2. And, well, I continue to reside in Evacuation Zone C. Love the sea. But, here's my concern. You know, I still, you know, ethics. You know, I just believe that it's gone. It's crushed. You know, right now I'm participating in the Charter Revision Commission. Participated in the last one 10 years ago. And, you know, before this one, I went and looked up the records for the one 10 years ago. And it's like they're all gone. And so, you know, we should really be concerned about that. And so anyway, this time around, you know, I'm a big thing. My thing is the waterways. People say we're getting all this public access. I say we're getting crushed. I feel like I've got dozens of examples to share with you. But anyway, right now, Governor DeSantis, you know, right now there's a task force, or the, six meetings, you know, throughout the state. And basically, it's getting to, well, access. I'm just to stay focused. I'm asking for a charter amendment. Any DIA, CRA, USD, Urban Services District, waterways component, taxpayer money is given to that entity. That waterways shall have public access for Joe Q. Public. 2013, 384, the Armory for a Buck is an example over on Hogan's Creek. I can cite you dozens of examples. And the Charter Revision Commission, now this is the Urban Services Subcommittee. I was at, Lindsey Brock put waterways into this committee. They were supposed to call, if you will, witnesses, Kay Ehas, Captain Jim Super, Lisa Reinemann. Yeah, I mean, anybody, you know, no one. Now, the legislation's 2017-1, trespass in a public park. Now, what is the violation if you're watercraft, if you pull up to a place, and you know what? Expansion of enforcement is everywhere. And, you know, Noni, you know, we'll warn you once, but twice? I mean, then, you know, you seize your watercraft. You know, the vial, I mean, I want to be one of the biggest cheerleaders for downtown, especially on our waterways, but the only way that's... Now, right now, there's currently two other pieces of legislation, and actually, the administration, I'd love for you to jump in on this one. I know you're ready to cut me off, but, you know, the school board property. You know, right now, school board's been awesome, but right now, you're also next to the district. And the biggest key is going to be access. Right after one of these meetings, I went over to Sidney Geffen on the North Bank. You know, there were two parking tickets. There's a car.
Thank you, John. We appreciate you being here.
Okay. Well, you know, but this... Okay. And thank you for listening. But you are a powerful body. And, you know...
Thank you, John.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting me joke you publicly.
Does anyone else wish to speak before... Seeing no one else get up. Thank you again for being here, Mr. Nooney. And so with that, I'd open it back up to the commission. Anyone else wish to share anything? Very good. So with that, we are adjourned. Thank you for being here.
That's my kind of humor. Oh, leave him. Got him. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks,
Sid. I can make it now.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, can't say I'm shocked.
Did he break up on what it is?
Basically, yeah.
When we renegotiated the lease.
Yeah.